Welcome to another episode of Geek Pursuits. Today, I'm honored to have JT White, the Chief Product Officer at OGX Labs, joining us. Today, we're talking about innovating video production, JT's vision for AI-driven video creation. JT is at the helm of Augi, an AI-driven video creation platform reshaping the industry. With over 15 years of experience in TV and media, his expertise in product management spans B2B and B2C sectors, collaborating with renowned brands like Geico and media giants such as ESPN. At OGX Labs, JT's leadership drives innovation, focusing on user-centric design and delivering powerful functionality. Join us as we explore JT's vision and the future of professional video creation. Good morning, JT. Thank you for joining me for the Geek Pursuits series this morning. How are you doing?
First of all, I'm very grateful for you having me. So thank you for inviting. And I'm thrilled. I'm having a great morning so far.
Awesome. I'm truly excited to dive into the questions. So can you walk me through your journey? You have a background in TV and media industry. So how did you get into that niche? And then how have you evolved as a product manager over the years?
Yeah, I've had, I think it used to be a little bit more of a novel journey. And now I think it's becoming a little bit more normal, but I actually started in sales. And I was very lucky very early in my career to work for like really amazing CEOs and bosses. And so in multiple instances, two in particular, a guy named Greg Luce and a guy named Bob Ausfeld, I had products that I didn't love to sell. And I kind of got to say, hey, I feel like we could do something different here. Or I feel like we're not far off of what the customer actually needs. And in both instances, they were like, okay, go do it. Which was really scary at the time. But it also is, that was literally what started me on the product path. Because I found that, you know, being a product person is actually very much like being a salesperson. The difference is you're selling internally instead of externally. And so this idea of getting people to sign off on a user problem that you felt like you could fix, you know, most often for monetary gain was actually something that was really fun. And so that sent me down the product path. And then from there, I was, you know, very lucky to meet really, really cool people who offered me opportunities to build, you know, TV Everywhere applications and entire mobile video infrastructure and really, really complicated AI inventory management and optimization platforms for publishers. And now I get to, you know, play in the video creation space with my friends. So
yes.
It's been a weird journey, but a fun one.
Yes. Awesome. Isn't it amazing when you get to combine your passion with your career, right? That's when it's just lovely and get to work with friends, right? So that's what Augi is all about. So I know you mentioned AI. So let's talk about emerging technologies. AR and VR are examples of the ones that are gaining traction. How do you stay ahead of the curve and integrate these technologies effectively into the product strategies?
So I have a potentially a hot take here. I actually think the answer is you should all the time.
Okay.
So one of the things that I've learned in being a product manager in the digital space for 20 years is that everyone's instinct to jump into the pool with 2 feet whenever something cool comes out is really, really strong. Mm-hmm. And actually, what you should do is not do that. And you should be really mindful and thoughtful about what it means to your users if there's a meaningful way to leverage new tech to make a substantial difference in the problem set you're solving. Mm-hmm. So what, like VR and AR is a great example. First of all, let's be very clear, super cool technology. Like it's awesome. Like no one's fighting that.
And expensive too, yes.
Right, but the question really is, are you making a VR application or AR application because you can and because it exists, or because it actually provides meaningful differentiation for your users? And the answer depends on your industry, right? I mean, I worked in advertising for a long time and we had an entire team that we spun up on the innovation side around like, what are the right VR and AR applications for ads? And the answer was actually not many, right? The truth is like there's barriers to entry in new tech, Right now, the reason AI is so exciting and is a little bit different than those two is because the barrier to entry to AI is a computer. Like, you don't need a lot to be able to make it useful. But I also think we've seen a lot of examples of people basically jamming AI into their existing products quickly without being thoughtful. And it's really backfired for some folks. So, you know, what I would actually say is, like, how do you effectively build it into your product strategy? It's like thoughtfully and carefully and maybe slow to make sure that you've actually worked it all the way out. Because these new technologies are new and they're evolving. I mean, specifically in the AI space, I mean, like every 72 hours feels like a new dawn. So figuring out how to use it and doing it slowly and doing a fair amount of testing internally and then a fair amount of testing externally, and then deciding how and if you should be turning some of these things on. Like, that's where I think there's actually a lot of opportunity for better decision making in products.
So what I'm hearing you say is it should be a true value add and
Yep.
only then incorporate it, and don't go after the new shiny object syndrome,
Yeah, I think there's a,
essentially.
and it's part of the media cycle is really hard, and it's very difficult, specifically at larger organizations. And if you're, if you have investors or, even more shareholders, they're going to ask you, like, what's your strategy on blank? And the truth is, if you're really good at it, your strategy can be, I don't know yet, but here's what we're testing, and here's what we're thinking about. But the strategy forms after there's data collection and after there's meaningful testing done. If you have a strategy out of the gate and you just run with it without being thoughtful, you're going to wind up having to send a bunch of people refunds for tickets that they accidentally bought. Or, you know what I mean? Like, there's all these examples of it not working because you kind of like rushed to say, we have a thing. It's okay to not have a thing first. I would rather, as a product person, I'd rather be right than first.
And I think that's where I think Augie is doing its due diligence of doing the testing and getting the UX, the UI feedback before they do the big launch. And we'll get into that. Can I talk about your book for a second?
Sure.
Tell me a little bit about your book and then share some insights and experiences. And how do you think that book has contributed to your product management community and strategies?
Yeah, so the book was really interesting. A really good friend of mine named Tom Goodwin wrote a book, and it was just so inspiring, and it was really cool, and I loved it, and I learned a lot. And I was like, I wish there was one of these for product. Because a lot of the stuff that I read about product feels old. It feels very outdated. And the history of product management is fascinating. And I cover it extensively in the book. So the idea that we're now using TPS and Six Sigma and all these really amazing systems that are now old, like they've been around for a long time. And the digital ecosystem is different. And so the impetus of the book was very simply, I wish somebody had told me all the things that change when you have to build di things digitally and quickly. And what wound up actually happening as I wrote it was I kind of had this realization, and the book takes a weird turn halfway through where it sort of stops being about product and starts being about, like, company culture and people. And so how it's changed me as a person is it made me really think about what my philosophy is as a builder of stuff, and how important having a philosophy is, and keeping that philosophy close to your brain and to your heart when you build things, and when those things get out of alignment, changing course quickly. And so the idea was very simply to start about, like, how do you actually become a product person, a good product person, which I don't know that I'm, no one should be looking at me as the benchmark, but I've made a lot of mistakes. And so I felt like, a lot of what I do with people that I get to work with is share the things I've done wrong. And so I thought, like, if I could share this publicly and fail publicly about all the stuff that I made mistakes about, maybe that'll make people better. And then as I wrote it, I was like, oh, you know what? Actually, like, creating a philosophy around how you want to build things and why you build things and what it means to you when you do or don't build a thing is actually even more important than the process. And so I wanted to be able to cover both of those things, and had some really, really amazing people like Tom and Jeremy and my friend Ryan around me who were really pushing me to be like, no, Tom actually said one of the nicest things anyone's ever said to me. He said, I have bad news for you. You might be an author. And it kind of gave me the confidence to be like, you know what? Yeah, let me actually share this and see what happens. So that's sort of how that came about.
So I'm curious enough to ask if you had if you could share your philosophy in one sentence, what is your philosophy around product?
Build things that matter with people you care about.
Love it. Love it. Okay, so let's get into Augie and AugX Labs.
Sure.
Can you share your inspiration behind co-founding AugX Labs and developing Augie as the AI-driven video platform?
Yeah, I mean, my story of Augie is a very personal one. So Jeremy, who's my CEO and co-founder,
Right.
and I had a podcast, funny enough, during the
Yes.
pandemic. And I love the audio side of podcasting. I like the editing and all that stuff, and I could do it. And Jeremy was really the subject matter expert. We were talking about movies, by the way. But like Jeremy knows more about movies, and his ability to like really understand movies is something as a friend that has always fascinated me. And I'm kind of clueless. So we just talked about stuff, and it was a lot of fun. It actually like got traction, and we had some listeners, and it was a good time. And so Jeremy was like, "You do a lot of the audio stuff. I want to do stuff too. I'll take over social media. I'll start making video content." And you know, Adobe Premiere is a beautiful program, but if you go in cold, it is a very, very intimidating product.
Agreed.
And so he took a bunch of likes, and listen, Jeremy's one of the best product people I've ever met. Like he's top two or three. And I've been very
Yes.
lucky to meet a lot of good ones. And he came out of like self-paced tutorials, and he was like, "Man, it's still really hard. It's still
Yes.
actually really hard." And
Yes.
he was working with our third co-founder and CTO Scott at Warner at the time. And they just started spitballing, like, "Well, how would you solve this problem?" And that really was it. It was born from we had a need to create video content, and video content's really, really challenging to make. And we had a very simple question, which was, how do you make it less hard? And so that was literally like, that's the birth of Augie. Like, we just want to make video accessible to everybody who needs to create it and make it fun to do. And
Right,
that's
right.
what we're trying to do now.
Yeah. I can tell you from experience, Adobe products aren't the best. I mean, they're great. Their output is great, but it takes a little bit of it. There is a learning curve to wrap your head around their interface, and you know, if you can learn it, great. But and it's also time to market, right? So if you're trying to push video and you're in a time crunch, Adobe might not be the one that you want to use for the first rev, right? The first
Yeah.
draft that you push out. So spot on with that observation. And so I think you answered a part of my next question, which was the gap in the market, right? So let's talk about the gap in the market as you saw it when you were bringing Augie in, and where do you envision taking it?
Yeah, so the gap, the easiest way is to draw a parallel. I love like sort of like, you know, analogies and parallels. So, you know, in 2015, Canva didn't really exist and didn't really have any users, right? And Adobe had anywhere between 18 and 30 million. We're not entirely sure which, but it was somewhere in that neighborhood, right? Last year, Canva had over 70 million users, and
Right.
Adobe had the same amount. And so, if you look at that, if you zoom out and you go, well, what does that actually mean? It doesn't mean that Adobe had, to your point, like, you know, the way I like to describe all those, it's Adobe and Avid, and like they're evolutionary products. So they've grown over years and years, I mean, decades of usage. As they grow, they become more and more robust. But to your point, the learning curve gets steeper and steeper. So what Canva said was, you know, realistically, there's a lot of sort of like what I would call first and second level marketing stuff that we could probably do that needs to happen that is too hard for 90% of the people to get into Adobe and figure out. So when we look at that, we think the same way about video, right? I look at every agency that needs to spin up lots of storyboards to figure out how to best tell a story and say, well, it's not worth your production time to go in and make 50 high fidelity versions. How do you spit out really smart stuff? Every medium and business in the country that has multi-tenant, multi-retail, that has a lot of content they should be producing, well, how does that actually work? So for us, the white space was how many, every time I see a website that doesn't have video on it, every time I see a static 300 by 250 ad on a website or on my mobile phone, or I see a static ad in Instagram, my brain goes off. Again, this is my media background. I just go, why though? Like, listen, like it's a little bit of a pithy comment, but you know, I went to school for evolutionary psychology. If we had figured out how to make video before we wrote down words, there'd be no writing. Like, we like video more. The science is in, just like, you cannot, it's irrefutable. Like, people like video more. So how do we make video approachable for all those people that should be making it? That's the white space. We want, well, someone's going to solve that problem, and I'm double down, then it's going to be us.
Yes, agreed. I think it's a great product. I have been using it for over a year now, and I've really enjoyed it. So a little bit of my background, I actually back in the day used to do instructional design. So instructional
Oh,
videos
nice.
were my thing, and very familiar with Adobe and several other competitive products. So yeah, Augie definitely makes life a lot easier for course designers and novice users, right? So for a person like me who's been using it professionally, the time to delivery was much longer with some of these Adobe products and the other competitors. But now what Augie has done is taken those complex course design mechanisms and put it in the hands of people who do not have a learning and development background. And a 10-year-old can design things with Augie, and well, my 10-year-old loves it. So there's proof of concept. Let's talk about collaboration and communication. They are vital when you're co-founding a venture. How do you and your team navigate the challenges of building and refining an AI-driven platform like Augie, but also ensuring that it's in alignment with your vision?
I think one of my favorite sayings is a high tolerance for the truth and no surprises. So I think one of the things that we as an organization, first of all, we're entirely distributed, right? So when you talk about communication, like that's even more important. So making communication a pillar of your entire ethos, where it's not a thing you can do, but it's a thing you must do. Right. So we're fundamentally an engineering organization, but we have design and we have marketing and we have product. Right. And like making sure that all of those people have a reason to talk to one another on a regular basis, both personally and professionally, because, you have to build a community inside of it. And I'm a big fan of the word community because I don't love when people say, like, welcome to the family. Like, family's an obligation, community is a choice. So I want people to feel like they're intentionally part of the community we build. And when it comes to co-founding a company, it's really just about being really, like, I think Jeremy has done an amazing job of this, being really, really like straight to the point up front, right? Which is like from the very beginning, we have all been very clear on what the mission was. And listen, we're a startup. There's so much noise, especially in AI right now. There's so much noise that hanging on to the signals in the noise is very difficult. But when your North Star doesn't move, it makes things way easier. And our North Star has not moved. Like from the very, I actually wrote some of the product requirement documents before the company was founded, just because Jeremy is a friend and he told me this idea. And I was like, oh my gosh, dude, this is nuts. What a good idea. And I just couldn't help myself. I started writing stuff. And some of the stuff I wrote was smart, some of it was pretty dumb. But the stuff that he kept, like that stuff is still who we are. And so staying true to your value of who, of what you're trying to solve, but being willing to change along the course as new technology becomes available or new data sets become available and you learn from it. But fundamentally, like anchoring yourself on the single problem you're solving and making sure that that's the thing, and then communicating consistently and honestly and openly around that problem, like that is. It's paramount. Like if you don't do that, you will fail. And if you do it, but not perfectly well and not honestly and not often, you still might fail. Like communication, working in public is a huge ethos for us as an organization. Like show everybody what you're doing all the time.
Transparency.
Take feedback. Like, everybody's really smart. Like we've been very lucky that, we've been able to hire really just really clever and fun and interesting people. And just because you're an engineer doesn't mean you don't have good design instincts. And just because you're a designer doesn't mean you don't have good marketing. Like all those people, like the collaboration is what makes it fun. But you do have to foster a community that does that, because otherwise it's very easy to get mired in your lane and your work and just kind of go down the rabbit hole.
Agreed. Agreed. So Augie seems to cater to both B2B and B2C markets. Can you elaborate on how your platform serves the needs of different types of users? So you've got individual co content creators on one end, and then you've got these large scale enterprises. How does Augie fit into both these buckets?
Yeah, it's actually really it's exciting. I mean, we are building a platform very specifically for marketers. Like that is our core, that's our ICP. Like that's who we're really focused on. The exciting part though is that the video problem is pretty consistent. So it doesn't actually matter what your use case is. they all sort of have the same issue, right? Like, I need to be able to do it faster. I need to be able to use a mix of my own content and stock content. Maybe I want to create some content. I need access to really good images. I need access to a really nice music library. I want to be able to do very basic effects and transitions. The problem set for both a B2C, B2B2C, B2C user actually doesn't change a lot, right? The only thing it really changes is priorities, what we have to address first versus last. And the nice thing is our intention is to build for all of them. We are hyper-focused on marketers and brands right now, like brands and marketers and advertisers for the most part. But the cool thing is like their problem set's not much different. So as we build really cool features, like we actually are dropping a feature this week where you can like start to just drag and drop any image or clip on screen in your video. Well, that's really, really meaningful if you're a publisher and you want to have a watermark or you want to put an interstitial lower third that kind of rises up and has a CTA. But mm-hmm. if you're an individual creator, you could also use that because you could put a QR code on the screen. There's all these other things that you could do. So the nice thing is that the video problem is consistent enough that we're lucky enough to service the entire industry. And while mostly focusing on our core audience, everybody kind of reaps the benefits.
Yes, yes. So curious, do you have interesting use cases that you can share with me?
Yeah, we've seen some amazing use cases. I mean, the obvious ones are like we have people creating advertisements in it, which I think is really good. We just saw an amazing use case this week, actually. Somebody made a full trailer, like a full movie trailer for a Hollywood movie. And nice. It was great. Like,
yeah,
it was really, really good. Now, there's some stuff that we know we want to be able to do better, but just the idea that you can use, we have a search function where you can upload your own content and then you can actually search against our computer vision database for all the individual moments and scenes and frames. Right. And so being able to use that and get like the perfect moment with an explosion and the perfect moment with the dad and the kid hugging and the perfect moment in a spaceship, like all that stuff, like being able to do that quickly, like create like a ready for commercial use trailer in under 30 minutes is pretty dope. The other one that I get most, I think most excited about is we're getting a lot of people in the education space and educators, whether you're educating about your product or traditional education, but this idea of doing exactly what you were talking about, right? Like I have a thing that I want to be able to tell you about that would be better served with visual representation kind of interspersed throughout. So sort of that John Oliver dialogue box up top where you're getting really meaningful information and visuals about the thing that I'm teaching you at the same time. So you're getting both an audio and visual response like collectively. It's a really, really powerful way to learn. And it's a really powerful way to storytell. So seeing, you know, even more of that. And then most recently, just because you brought it up, I actually saw somebody who used it to make a book report for school. And
interesting.
It like made my heart smile because I love the idea of being able to unleash the creativity of kids where they can become content, like proper content creators in the ecosystem without having to use, you know, a bunch of tools that are not necessarily made for them. So those are some of them, but there's a ton more, but those are some of my favorites.
Yeah. And I think that will resonate more with the new generation that's coming up, right? Because this is the generation, these are data and digital natives that we are talking about. Speaking from my own experience, right? They're born with iPhones in their hands.
Yeah.
So things that you and I might have had to learn come naturally. And so when you're presenting something like video as a learning mechanism for them, it resonates more to them. It's more alive versus the black and white in a book or the black and white that is scanned on a digital platform, which is still static. You know, it's just you're just looking at it on a screen versus a paper. So let's talk about the feedback, right? You've run a great beta version of this and gotten feedback. So user centricity is really, really crucial to product development. How does Augie prioritize and iterate on features to ensure that it aligns with the evolving needs of the user?
Yeah, I love this question. The way that I have always thought about this is it's not my roadmap. It's not Augie's roadmap. It's not Augex Labs roadmap. It's our roadmap, like the royal R. Right. So, you know, the way that we think of it is sort of twofold, right? There's direct interaction with users, which we have a Discord channel, and we have our beta clients who are paying and that we work with and we talk to every week about, you know, one of my favorite questions to ask as a product person, and I encourage everybody else to do it, is like, what can it not do? Right? Like really understand the thing that like, somebody got to this one moment in your product and they went, I wish, oh man, if it just did this one thing. Like those are, that's the best feedback you could ever get, right? But then there's also the data, right? And like the more users you get, the more data you look at, you can start to really understand how users, where the fail points are, where they're spending more time than they should, where they're not spending as much time as they should, and then start to message that. So it's a balancing act. I mean, fundamentally, if you're not close to your users as a product, you will fail, period. Right? I mean, everybody in the world can ask, you can ask anybody. One of the things I ask on my podcast is I always ask people, actually, let me ask you, is what's a product that you think of that you absolutely love using?
Algae comes to mind.
Great answer.
Just because it's so user-friendly. That's what, right? So, I mean, Canva is one of them, but this just Augie just takes user-friendliness on steroids, right? That's kind of how I feel about it.
I want to be on the record of saying I didn't ask you to say that. I won't put you on the spot and ask for a bad product because it can be contentious, but it is a thing I'm really interested in. Like one of the things I always ask people is like, I always pick on this industry and I feel bad, but like banking apps, like how many people open their banking app and feel great about that whole user experience? Now, in fairness to banking apps, there's a lot of stuff that they have to jam in there. But if they were closer to their users and there was any level of personalization or any level of just sort of a two-way communication with their user set, I think you could do both. I think you could have a really complicated set of information that I need to get to and a really simple way to just find out what I need most of the time. And that's all about being really, really close to the user. And the more, again, evolutionary products, the more things grow, the closer you have to get so that you can figure it out. So for us, our users are everything, and they will always be everything to us because it's the only way to build products that matter for a long time. Because otherwise, you start to lose the thread.
And then there's the disconnect between, your vision is sitting in a silo and you're not responding to the market needs because those are your consumers. That's where the rubber meets the road, essentially.
Well, and I'll say that one of my biggest sort of like nitpicks about the industry in general is that people very often will ask, like, well, what's your 3-year roadmap? Like, are you nuts? I don't know, man. Like 3 years, like I can tell you what I want to build, like big picture. Yeah, sure. But don't put time against it. Because like if you're always building, we're a continuous development shop for this reason. Like if you're constantly building to 3 months out, you're going to miss things. Right. We every once in a while we'll get some brilliant user on Discord that'll come through and go, hey, if I could do this, it would be really interesting to me. And we go, oh my gosh, that's such a good idea. How do we do it? And we'll do it. And then because we don't have 3-month sprints and these like really long roadmaps that we're absolutely like have to be beholden to, we can like it's not a pivot, but we can make things happen pretty quick. And in doing that, we'll get incredible feedback from people that go, oh, this actually unlocked an entire new use case for us that's really, really meaningful. So to me, that ability to be flexible is like, and that all has to do with how close you are to your users.
I mean, that was part of the reason why behind asking the question on use cases, right? Because when you go into product development, you go with a certain mindset and use cases in mind, but then when you do beta testing, you get some surprises and pleasant surprises like the one you're talking about. And that's what I was going for is what are those, and movie trailer is one of them, like what are those that absolutely kick it out of the ballpark? Like what did you never imagine Augie being used for, and you've seen it being used? So yeah. Well, that brings me to my very last question. What keeps you ticking? What brings you to work every day for Augie?
Oh man. I mean, the easy, the real answer is the team. Like I love who I'm building this stuff with. Like these are like being around people that are as passionate or more passionate about the thing that you're doing and the thing you care about is there's just something really special there. The other thing that really motivates me is sort of there's two things. One is I really want someone to solve this problem because I see really good video in the ecosystem and I see really bad video in the ecosystem and I see a ton of like businesses and brands and individuals and solopreneurs and startups that should be making video content that could help them. And I want someone to solve it for them because I think everybody gets better if somebody solves this well. The other thing that really keeps me going is I think the conversation around ethical and reasonable use of AI is wildly important. And I've happened to be very lucky that, you know, my last company was a company called Furious Corp, and I worked with some really ethical and really brilliant people there. And we were an AI company. We were using machine learning to do big data sets and using a ton of data science. And so I've been around the conversation for over a decade now. And it to me, you have to be in the weeds of it to be able to influence it. And I think that, you know, unfortunately, there will be bad actors because it's just the way the world works. But the more people that build really, really conscious products with really, really healthy organizations and transparency and honesty and a little bit of just like class, I think can be really meaningful for the next generation of people who AI is going to be way more accessible to.
Right.
And so the idea of Augex getting to be a champion for ethical and reasonable use of a really beautiful technology when it's not taken advantage of, I think is very exciting and a thing that I want to be here for.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, it's been a pleasure. I know I learned just as much as the people who are going to be listening to this podcast. Thank you again for taking the time this morning.
No, the pleasure is all mine. And thank you so much for inviting me. And thank you very much for doing this for your audience. It's a wonderful service you provide and a great platform.
Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, keep pursuing innovative strategies.